The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you working in an industry where stress levels are high, burnout is common, and environments are toxic? This happens in a lot of industries, but especially in healthcare. Welcome to Stress Busters Corner with Dr. Raji Menon. Our show will help you understand more about it and give you some tips so you can manage stress and avoid burnout before it gets the best of you. Now, here's your host, Dr. Raji Menon.
Hello. And welcome to the Stress Busters Corner on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. I'm your host, Raji Menon. Thanks for listening. Please do send me your comments, suggestions, or questions. My email address is raji@stressfreephysician.com. We've been talking over the last few episodes about stress and burnout, and we did go in quite depth about how to manage stress, how to avoid stressful situations. We also talked about how it's not really possible to avoid every stress in our lives. Stress is an inevitable part of our lives and at times very useful too. They help us grow. Once we've accepted the fact that stress is important in our lives to some extent, the next obvious question is, why do some people deal with it better than others? How are some people able to go through some really tough situations in life and yet seem to adapt really well and not have significant scars from those experiences? Which brings us to the topic of resilience. And I thought this would be a good topic to discuss today. So before we go into the whole idea of resilience, let's go back and look at what wellness is. I was recently reading the definition from The Lancet about wellness. And it said, wellness goes beyond merely the absence of distress and includes being challenged, thriving, and achieving success in various aspects of personal and professional life. This got me thinking. Because we had talked about stress all along, we never did talk much about distress. And so what is the difference between these two terms? How are they different? So I got the dictionary out and looked at them, at these terms in the dictionary. And here's what I found. Distress is defined in the dictionary as an extreme anxiety, sorrow, or pain. So there's a huge emotional component here when we talk about extreme anxiety or sorrow. Stress, on the other hand, is described as a state of mental or emotional strain or tension resulting from adverse or very demanding circumstances. So it kind of goes very well with what we talked about when we described stress as having two sides to it. It can have a very negative impact on a person, or it can actually have a positive impact on a person. Distress, on the other hand, has nothing positive about it. It's completely negative. It's a very sorry situation that a person finds themselves in as a result of a stressful event. So, as we said, stress is inevitable in our lives. What happens as a result of the stress is what we're talking about here, and it's the negative impact of it, what we call distress, and being able to handle that distress is what brings out differences in different people. So when there is a stressful event, what are some of the outcomes that we actually like to see, or what would serve us well? Being able to handle that event, the stressful event, without becoming too distressed would be a great thing. Or if one does get distressed, being able to recover well from that distress is another good outcome. The third one, and this is probably very important for more important in the healthcare system, is being able to maintain competence and function during a stressful event. And finally, learning from the event so as to handle future stresses better. So these are some of the preferable outcomes from a stressful event that we would like to see. And resilience, clearly, is all of these. A person who is able to achieve any or all of these can be considered resilient. When we look at definitions for resilience, resilience has been studied very widely in the scientific and the psychological fields. And there are so many definitions for it. And the one common term that you find in most definitions is the ability to bounce back from a stressful situation. So this is a common aspect of any definition that you look at. Interestingly enough, there was even a definition for resilience ecologically. It was defined as the capacity of an ecosystem to respond to a disturbance by resisting damage and recovering quickly. That's very, very similar or parallel to what we are talking about in the human situation. From the field of physics, I found a definition that stated resilience as the capability of a strained body to recover its size and shape after deformation caused especially by compressive stress. And of course, in our context, it is described as an ability to recover from or adjust easily to misfortune or change. So it's not just recovering from, it's also the ability to adjust, to adapt and continue to function, maintain competence in the face of a stressful event. So another definition that actually has all of these together is that it is a capacity for successful adaptation, positive functioning or competence, despite high-risk status, chronic stress, or following prolonged or severe trauma. Now, the high-risk status here, I think, is referring to children from, who grew up in difficult family situations or abusive environments and so on, because a lot of research around resilience has been done in the field of psychology and in children. Now, in all these elements, we talked about the key elements in almost every definition, and one of them is that there is a significant amount of stress. It could be a single catastrophic event, or it can be repeated or recurrent events. But it has to be, it's hard enough that actually causes a distress in the person facing it. There are many factors, of course, to the idea of resilience. And it relates a lot to the behavior of the person. The most important thing about resilience that I would like to stress is that nobody is born with a certain level of resilience. there is the ability. It's not, what is already in your genes. It's really something that can be taught, that can be learned, that can be developed and improved. What I want to talk about next is just once again go over some of the other important things to remember about resilience, is that the same person can show a different capacity or different levels of resilience at different times. And I think this is something that everyone can relate to. It's based on what's going on in your life, you're likely to take, you know, a new conflict or a new event in a different way. For example, you're already going, say you're not well, you're extremely tired. You're more likely to get into arguments with people or see something in a negative light when you're tired and drained. If everything is going really well in your life, you're able to take things better. You're able, when you see something new, you say, you know, you have support. You don't suffer as much distress from it when things are going well in your life, when you know you have the support, when you feel good about yourself. Or sometimes even when you look better, you know, people often dress well when they go out to an event where they're afraid or they are anxious, you know, about how it's going to go. And this is one of the things that, for example, image consultants teach, is how to dress well to increase your sense of self, your sense of confidence. So I'm going to stop now and come back in a few minutes and continue with this topic. You're listening to the Stress Busters Corner on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Stay tuned.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Take us on the go. It's even easier now. The Voice America Talk Radio Network has launched our mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market to download the app powered by Aircast. It's free and no registration is necessary. In minutes, you could be enjoying your favorite Voice America Talk Radio host, no matter where you are. In the car, out and about, while traveling, or anytime you can't be close to your computer. Catch up on the archives you've missed or discover new shows on the spot. Search Voice America at your favorite app store.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between, discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
The latest business information is made simple with the Voice America Business Network. The professionals in the business world bring you live talk radio shows featuring an array of business topics, strategies for building wealth, sales and marketing, stock trading, investing, and business technology. Voice America business hosts are professionals in their fields and bring to the airwaves weekly business discussions that offer up-to-date information, advice, and education. The Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business talk.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
This is Stress Busters Corner with Dr. Raji Menon. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to Raji at stressfreephysician.com. That's R-A-J-I at stressfreephysician.com. Now, back to Stress Busters Corner.
Hello and welcome back to the Stress Busters Corner on Voice America. We're talking about resilience today, and I'm Raji Menon. We talked about what resilience is and some of the important features about it. We ended by saying that the same person can exhibit different levels of resilience based on the circumstances. Also, another thing to remember in that is that our own abilities, our vulnerabilities, as well as our strengths, our weaknesses and our strengths, change as a result of experiences that we go through in life. So what I was 10 years ago is totally different from what I am today. What used to press my buttons 10 years ago, my buttons were different then from what they are now. Obviously, because we learn and we change as we go along. Now, to go into this topic further, before we do that, I want to talk about some of the sources of stress, which we have touched upon in the past, but we'll go through that once again here. So there are different sources of stress that any person can face. You can have your normal life events. I was looking at a list of stressful events many years ago, and one of the events that was described as probably the most stressful in that list was wedding, marriage. Just the process of getting married can cause a huge stress to the system. Then there's things like childbirth. Again, you know, things change around the family. Everything changes. Your whole life changes when there's a new baby in the family. So those are normal events in life that pretty much anybody can experience that cause significant stress. Then there are those abnormal events, the unexpected events like illness or death or an accident. Even winning the lottery, if you look at the positive side of it, winning the lottery can be a huge stress on the system. Then there are events that are occurring not personally to us, but around us. You know, poverty, crime, natural disaster, a war. And in today's world, there's the all these various acts of terrorism. I'm sure everybody can again relate to this part where, you know, something huge occurs like the hurricane or the attack on the Twin Towers or the Boston Marathon. I remember with each of these events being glued to the television for days trying to see what's going on and listen to the news and follow it. And it does cause a certain amount of stress and distress and sorrow in anyone who's watching or paying attention to these things. And then there are the stresses of daily living, the hassles that we get into. There's traffic jams, there's, you know, you've ordered something, it doesn't come on time, you want to get to an appointment, you don't get there on time. So there are little things in everyday life that can be a source of stress. There's the conflicts in, you know, that we face at home, you know, with the family, with, say, teenage children or even younger children. There's conflicts with, say, you know, on the road. You know, road rage is something you can face. You can have conflicts with strangers, a cashier, for example. Now, those are all pretty common to everybody. If we talk about the healthcare professional, there's a whole bunch of other situations that cause innumerable stressful events in their lives. Most healthcare people, healthcare professionals deal with sick people. So just having a very sick patient on your hands is difficult. You know, taking care of them, making sure they're doing well, making sure you don't make any mistakes when you're taking care of them. Then there are the sudden, unexpected things that happen, a complication or death in an otherwise stable patient. Then there's the problems with the work itself, the work environment, for example, scheduling. You know, you can't get time off to visit a sick parent or relative because there's not enough people or everyone else has their holidays booked or whatever. And having to negotiate and find your replacement can be a huge stress on people. Childcare is another issue that, you know, causes a lot of stress, because if there are two parents working, or if you're a single parent, you know, finding the time, being able to care for your child is a very important thing, which can be a huge source of stress until that child is old enough to look after themselves. And again, conflicts, you can have conflicts at the workplace just as you have them outside, with colleagues, with other professionals, with the administration, with your immediate manager, and so on. Then there are administrative issues like increased workload, decreased compensation. The requirements for documentation is just a simple example. The number of papers or papers to fill in or information data to be put in a computer is increasing day by day. This is all for the sake of protection, for the sake of safe medicines, whatever. But it has caused a huge stress on people, especially frontline healthcare professionals who think that they are being taken away from valuable time with their patients, with their clients, in order to do what is perceived as mundane tasks, as documentation. And sometimes documentation involves repeating the same thing in five different forms. So that really takes a lot of time and causes huge stress on the more sensitive person. So looking at all these issues, these possible things, and any person at any time can have more than one of these going on in their lives. So, it's very obvious how people in the healthcare system suffer or are at a high risk for suffering burnout from all these causes. What are some of the factors that promote resilience, or why is it that some people are able to handle all of these things and still appear happy and cheerful, or at least be able to function well without breaking down or giving up? Perhaps the most important factor that has been quoted in almost any literature that you can find is the presence of positive relationships in a person's life. You can have your family, parents, spouse, children, siblings, extended family, who can be a huge source of support when you're going through a difficult period. Now, it's also very important to remember that they can only be a huge sense of support if they are a positive influence in your life, if they are likely to support you, believe in you, believe that good things will come, and are able to convince you of that as well, are on your side, want your best, and so on. Any family where there's, you know, where there's judgment, where there is criticism, where they're actually adding to your stress, they don't really count under the positive relationship or positive influence. Then you can have friends. You can have a bunch of friends, or you can have one single loyal friend. And one loyal friend is often worth 1,000 relatives or 1,000 other friends. Again, you want a friend who is capable of being supportive, who is capable of understanding you, being non-judgmental and on your side, and yet is also able to be frank with you. You know, if you are wallowing in self-pity, there's only so long you're allowed to do that, because that's a very negative thing to do when you're, you know, everyone goes through a small amount of self-pity at any time, especially when they're going through a hard time, but you need to snap out of it. And a good friend or a good relative is someone who can actually tell you, look, okay, that's enough. Now let's snap out of it. Let's get on with it. What else can we do? Or, you know, let's move. So that's what you want in a friend or a relative. Colleagues. Now, this is a very important point. We spend, for a person who works 8 hours a day, 8 hours a day is one third of your life, is one third of a day, 24 hours. So if you look, take your whole working life, it's one third of the entire time, entire period of your working life. Now, if you go one step further and you just look at the time when you're awake, assuming you sleep 7 to 8 hours as you should, you have, say, about 16 hours left in a day. And if you're working an 8-hour job, that's half your waking life. So half your waking life is spent amongst your in your work environment amongst your colleagues. Now, if you look at a healthcare professional, some of us work 80 to 100 hours a week. That's more than half of our waking life that we are actually spending. Sometimes up to 3/4 of our waking life is actually spent amongst colleagues. So having good, supportive colleagues is another huge factor in the development, in the ability to be resilient. We're going to take another break. Stay tuned. This is the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. You're listening to the Stress Busters Corner.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Take us on the go. It's even easier now. The Voice America Talk Radio Network has launched our mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market to download the app powered by Aircast. It's free and no registration is necessary. In minutes, you could be enjoying your favorite Voice America Talk Radio host, no matter where you are. In the car, out and about, while traveling, or anytime you can't be close to your computer. Catch up on the archives you've missed or discover new shows on the spot. Search Voice America at your favorite app store.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between, discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
The latest business information is made simple with the Voice America Business Network. The professionals in the business world bring you live talk radio shows featuring an array of business topics, strategies for building wealth, sales and marketing, stock trading, investing, and business technology. Voice America business hosts are professionals in their fields and bring to the airwaves weekly business discussions that offer up-to-date information, advice, and education. The Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business talk.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
This is Stress Busters Corner with Dr. Raji Menon. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to Raji at stressfreephysician.com. That's R-A-J-I at stressfreephysician.com. Now, back to Stress Busters Corner.
Hello and welcome back to the Stress Busters Corner. I'm Raji Menon. We're talking about resilience. We were talking just before we broke away about the factors that promote resilience. And we talked about family, friends, colleagues. There's another very important piece here that personally I find a huge source of support, and that's pet animals. Having a dog or a cat that is very sensitive to your feelings, to your moods, Having a dog that's incredibly happy to see you, no matter how long you've left him or her alone, no matter how late you arrive home, is huge. It really changes your, it calms you down. It brings a sense of such happiness to a person. And that really does help maintain that resilience or even develop it. I remember I was in the operating room one day, and this was early in the morning, and already my first case was being delayed for some silly reason, and I was not a happy person. It, just looking at me, people could tell that I was really fuming inside. Of course, I wasn't making a fight about it or anything. I was just standing there fuming. And this one of the nurses who knows me very well asked me, "So how's Lucy?" Lucy's this lovely pet dog that we have. And immediately, you wouldn't believe how quickly I just started smiling and I just calmed right down. I said, "Oh my goodness." You know, and it really was a beautiful moment for me. And, you know, I can't express enough just how much this little dog brings me comfort. And not just me, but every member of the family. The same, I don't have cats, but I know people who have cats and they have the same experience. You know, all you need to do is snuggle with this animal and really, they don't have to say anything back. They don't have to tell you they support you, but it really makes a huge difference when you're stressed out. Then there are supports in the community. You know, for example, you have your, say, job zone. For a person who's lost their job, you know, you have, in Canada at least, we have what is called employment insurance. There's the job zone where you that will help you apply for new jobs and so on. There's all kinds of social supports. No matter what country you live in, there's structures that are put in place to help the less fortunate person. And a less fortunate person does not have to be less fortunate all through their lives. It can be and a situation you're going through. We have stories here in our own community where you know, a fire destroyed a home. And then the community comes together and you know, takes care of this family, gives them a place to stay, you know, donates clothes to them, and so on. So no matter where you live, there is a community around you that can bring you, can give you support when you're in distress. And then there are organizations that we all belong to at one time or the other. There are people who go to church. There's sports teams. There's other, you know, groups that either do dancing or knitting or clubs that you join. All these groups, these structures, these systems that we have around us contribute in many different ways to resilience. The other, so that's, you know, that's a whole bunch of positive support systems that we have that I've just gone through. The other important thing is having a positive outlook. And again, you know, this whole outlook thing is probably the second most important thing, or almost as equal as having positive support, supportive relationships around us. And there are many aspects to this whole idea of outlook. Now, the first is optimism. There's a lot of papers in the literature who talk about where they talk about optimism as the single most important factor for resilience. But really, it is important to know, to understand that optimism is good to a certain extent, but in some situations, when it becomes unrealistic, it really does not help. So optimism is important, but it really should not distort your sense of reality. In extremely adverse situations, you know, if you continue to think positively and, you know, you're hoping against hope, that can actually spell disaster. I can, you know, specifically remember the story of this gentleman I was once asked to see. It was on a weekend. The physicians who were taking care of that patient have now gone for the weekend. They are off. I am on call, and I get called to see this man who has a bowel obstruction. And the reason for the call was for me to operate on this patient. I go and I check the chart first, and I'm told that this man has stage 4 cancer. I don't remember what the original cancer was, but right now he's got cancer that has spread all through his body. His entire abdomen is full of cancerous growths, and he has a bowel obstruction. He's really not doing well. But he wants me to operate on him. And I know, and on some level he should know, that there's no way I can relieve him of this obstruction with surgery because his abdomen is full of cancer. And apparently he had been telling, demanding that he be transferred to the teaching hospital where he can receive some chemotherapy and so on and on. I went to see him. His wife had a little more realistic understanding of what was going on. She knew he was not going to survive very long. He literally had days left to live, but he would not give up. He wanted everything done to keep him alive. It was painful. It was heartbreaking. But somebody had to tell him. Now, it's not like nobody told him this. You know, his family physician, the hospitalist who was looking after him, as well as the surgeon who had been called a day or so before, did tell him that really there's nothing we can do. But he just would not accept it. And finally, it fell upon me because this is a weekend. There's 3 days that I'm on call and there's nobody else I can ask for support. There's no other, person who can do what I'm now supposed to do. So I went to him and we started talking and I asked him, what is your expectation out of this? Oh, I want to be better so I can go, for my chemotherapy and so on. And I said to him, look, it's not going to happen. Nobody is going to give you chemotherapy the way you are now. I'm sorry. I as gently as I could, I explained to him that it's not going to work. Then he tells me about how 2 weeks ago the oncologist did offer chemo. I said, well, in 2 weeks, things have changed so dramatically, so seriously, that it's not going to happen. Finally I said to him, we had quite the discussion where, I was trying to be as gentle and yet tell him in no uncertain terms that there's really nothing we can do for you. Ultimately, I said to him, I realize you want to be brave, and I suspect you're doing that for your wife. You want to be brave for your family. And as soon as I said this, the wife broke down. She started crying. And I said to him, it's as much an expression of courage. It's as courageous to accept what is happening as it is to fight it. You can fight for so long, but you've reached a point where you're not winning this fight anymore. If you can accept that, then you can, it's going to be much more easier on your family. And of course, he saw his wife cry and something changed in him. I was finally able to convince him to go to the hospice, where he, of course, had a really good experience and died within the next couple of days. So this is an example of where, incredible optimism really doesn't do any favors. In fact, it's making the last few days of your life that much more painful for yourself and for the relatives. Now, there may be different opinions about this, but that was my experience with this particular patient. So, especially when there's a huge, very powerful challenge, a sense of reality is far more important than just hoping against hope. The other factor is faith. And, you know, faith, Rabindranath Tagore, a famous poet from India, had a beautiful way of describing faith. He said, faith is the bird that sees the light and sings when the night is still dark. And that's what faith is. It's like if you, it's not enough to hope or pray or wish or any of those things. It's the knowing that it's going to be okay, that something good is going to come, and so on, that I can deal with this situation, that I can handle it, and so on. Let's take another break. We'll come back and continue with this topic in a few minutes. This is the Stress Busters Corner on Voice America. Stay tuned.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Take us on the go. It's even easier now. The Voice America Talk Radio Network has launched our mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market to download the app powered by Aircast. It's free and no registration is necessary. In minutes, you could be enjoying your favorite Voice America Talk Radio host, no matter where you are. In the car, out and about, while traveling, or anytime you can't be close to your computer. Catch up on the archives you've missed or discover new shows on the spot. Search Voice America at your favorite app store.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between, discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
The latest business information is made simple with the Voice America Business Network. The professionals in the business world bring you live talk radio shows featuring an array of business topics, strategies for building wealth, sales and marketing, stock trading, investing, and business technology. Voice America business hosts are professionals in their fields and bring to the airwaves weekly business discussions that offer up-to-date information, advice, and education. The Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business talk.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
This is Stress Busters Corner with Dr. Raji Menon. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to Raji at stressfreephysician.com. That's R-A-J-I at stressfreephysician.com. Now, back to Stress Busters Corner.
Hello and welcome back. You're listening to the Stress Busters Corner on Voice America. We were talking about some of the factors that build resilience or make some people more resilient than others. And we were talking about faith as we finished the last segment. The other important factor as far as outlook is concerned is gratitude, even in the midst of sorrow. You know, most people like or are able to feel thankful when everything has gone well. If one can stay grateful, knowing, and again, faith comes into this, if you have the faith that everything is going to go well, if you know deep inside that it's going to be okay, then it's easy to be grateful, even when you haven't seen it happen yet. Another important factor is attitude. Now, I have heard people call themselves victims of cancer, for example, or victims of abuse or whatever. And then I have heard other people go describe themselves as survivors of cancer or whatever. I remember talking to this lady who described herself as a cancer survivor. But everything in her conversation was hinged on the fact that she had cancer in her life. This cancer was what pretty much defined her in her own mind. So I said to her, why don't you say, instead of saying I'm a cancer, and she said it as often as she could, in any conversation she would bring it up at least two or three times. So I said to her, instead of saying that you're a cancer survivor, let's go one step further. Why don't you say, I am healthy? Yes, you had cancer. I'm not denying it. I'm not downplaying its effect on your life. I fully want to validate that you fought it and came through it. But right now, you're fully healthy. Why don't you focus on that? I could literally see the switch go off in her head and her outlook change completely after that. The other thing is making the best of what is. It's easy to complain about what's not there, but if we have an attitude of, okay, let's see what we can do with this, we often may have to improvise. Sometimes we may have to get downright creative to do what we want to do in a situation, in a difficult situation. Often that, somebody said necessity is the mother of invention. It's those situations where people attempted either improvisation or creativity that have led to all the wonderful inventions in this world, all the facilities in terms of methods, in terms of structures, in terms of instruments that we have, all came out of someone trying to think differently or either improvise something or do something creative with something that's already there to address a requirement that they couldn't otherwise do. So those are things that make people, in any situation more resilient if they can figure out ways to manage with what is. And finally, the whole concept of meaning. There's this beautiful story of, there's a beautiful book called Man's Search for Meaning, written by Viktor Frankl. He describes the moment he was taken to the concentration camps. He was quite young at the time, and he's one of the people who survived the concentration camp. So he describes how he was on his way to work one day, worrying about this new foreman who was really a nasty person. And he wondered if he should, trade his last cigarette for a bowl of soup and so on. And then suddenly, he was disgusted. He was thinking, he was disgusted at how he was paying attention to these trivial things, how trivial his entire life had become because he was focusing on these little things on the day-to-day basis. And then he realized that in order to survive, he had to find some purpose. And actually, even before that event, he already had a theory around this whole purpose issue. So he imagined himself giving a lecture after the war on the psychology of the concentration camp, of how he decided to come up with this theory of why is it that some people survive and others don't, and how is it that some people survive? And he looked forward to beyond the concentration camp, beyond the end of the war, where he can actually teach these concepts that he already had brewing in his mind. And when his vision went beyond the walls of that concentration camp, he actually succeeded in rising above the day-to-day sufferings. And he says that we must never forget that we may also find meaning in life when confronted with a hopeless situation, when facing a fate that cannot be changed. So, you know, there are some people who say, why me when things go wrong? Well, that is clearly an expression of self-pity. Why not me is a better way of looking at it. And that actually describes a certain level of self-confidence, you know, which is obviously my next point. After, you know, talking about the different ways to look at issues, is the idea that, you know, the positive self-image, the positive self-evaluation, knowing that I am in charge of my life, I can change this situation. And in situations that cannot be changed, it's I can deal with this. I can handle this. You know, knowing that is very important. Considering oneself worthy, considering oneself unique, and having a sense of personal value is what resilient people have. And then, of course, there should be the determination, the sheer will to plan ahead, to have realistic goals, and the will to do what it takes to get there. And ultimately, of course, the most important thing is having some kind of a spiritual practice. It does not necessarily have to do anything with religion. It helps to ground a person. And almost every resilient person has some method that helps them. So I think we've come to the top of the hour, and we've had a fairly long discussion on the topic of resilience. We will continue with interviews and more discussions on the whole idea of stress and burnout. Please tune in again next Monday to the Health and Wellness channel of Voice America. This is the Stress Busters Corner. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining us on Stress Busters Corner. Please tune in for another edition with your host, Dr. Raji Menon, next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness channel. We hope you'll join us again next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.